hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin, traveling in the world of my creation. What we'll see will defy explanation.
Good afternoon.
Welcome to Why Is This a Thing? That was a... You know, something was missing from that intro. I'm not saying that anything good was missing, but something was missing from that.
It was
what
different.
Could that be? It was different.
Let me think.
You know, it's like I just had a broken back, and now it's now it's been sort of stretched out again. It's nice and healed. I'm able to walk around freely without this weight on my shoulders. Just that Evangelista, just the ever so tightening leash of Nick Evangelista is off of my neck. And it feels pretty good. Nick is in Japan, as I think everybody knows. We're well aware of this by now. We did our last show with him a couple weeks ago. We didn't realize it was our last show with him, but now it's our last show with him. And now it's just the three amigos over here.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy to actually have the mic to myself.
You don't have to share it.
Yes.
You get your own mic. It's a privilege. It's a privilege, you know?
It's the white mic, too.
It is the
white mic. Well, that is Nick's mic.
That's true. Well, fitting for him. Nick has been overseas. I'm not sure what he's been doing. I've been texting him a little bit, and I see just lots of pictures of him eating food.
Yeah, I was just about to say. Just pictures of him with random people that I don't know just eating.
Although his new profile pic is kind of creepy too.
What's the new
him sitting in the chair?
Oh, I saw that. Yeah, it was weird.
Have you not seen this?
No, what chair?
Yeah.
Look. They went somewhere. I don't know if they went to like a museum of some sort, if it was just some chair in a store or something, but he's sitting in this chair and he kind of looks creepy.
Yeah, it's weird.
That looks
it's
like weird. A throne to me.
Yeah, doesn't it?
But not like a throne, like one of those thrones that they put you
like
in
a small
kingdom. When it's your birthday at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like one of those thrones.
Yeah.
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 No, that's right.
Yeah, that's like a Chuck E. Cheese
throne. Do they have
medieval
times in
Chuck E. Cheese throne?
I'm sure they do. Really, the bottom line, though, is he's been going to a lot of unremarkable places in Japan.
So far. Yeah.
From what I've seen on pictures, I don't know. Maybe he's, fallen in love and seen the sun rise and in the land of the rising sun, right?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes, that is correct.
Called Japan? Yeah, I don't know. No, I saw him at a McDonald's.
I saw that.
He was eating noodles at a McDonald's, I think. I'm like, okay. Well.
Getting noodles at a McDonald's. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean... That sounds exciting though.
It's different McDonald's.
But we all know when you go to Japan, the first thing you want to know about is the noodles, right, guys?
Yeah, of course.
What else?
Absolutely.
And what they serve at a McDonald's. I mean, there's no more exciting thing. This is weird for me to share. There's nothing I love more than discovering a new McDonald's.
Oh no, it was great when I went overseas. It was so different, but not.
You both traveled abroad. I've never left the country, so this is a perspective I've never got.
Okay, so well, in England, it's more or less the same. There's a few little differences, but I found France.
Them chips, right? They call French fries chips.
No, not these. French fries at McDonald's are still French fries because chips are you know those like Applebee's French fries that you get that are kind of thick.
Right.
Those are chips.
Okay.
French fries are the skinny ones.
Well, and French fries is like the name that McDonald's has given them.
Yes, exactly.
That's not true.
Yeah, I think it is.
McDonald's created the
term French
fry.
I don't know if they created French fries, but they are the McDonald's French fry. Like, it's like a staple of McDonald's type of thing. So when you go somewhere, if they don't call them French fries, McDonald's is still most likely going to call them French fries.
Yeah.
Because I think when I ordered Mickey D's in England, they still said it was fries.
Did they still call it Mickey D's?
I called it Mickey D's.
Okay.
I use Mickey D's sometimes.
I still use
Mickey D's. I use it quite often.
Yeah. I like it.
It's great, but is McDonald's okay with the fact that we call it Mickey D's, or is that like off brand for them?
Nah,
like, would they ever use that in a commercial or something? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes, like, these companies get, like, when Q-tips, when you say that I use Q-tips to, like, clean your ear out, Q-tips gets very annoyed when you say that.
Yeah. Really?
Because they make it a point to say, don't stick our product in your ear. Even though every single person that uses the Q-tip uses it for their ear.
I used it this morning.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
What else would you use a Q-tip for?
It's supposed to be for, like, cleaning off makeup and crafts. And it's
crafts?
Yeah, for, like, applying, like, glue in certain places. What? And I've used them for that. And they're okay, but the best use for them is cleaning your wax.
That's the only reason.
That's the only reason people buy
that
them.
Or like Smurf drum kits. That's like the only other you beat a little mini bass drum with it. Yeah. No, go ahead. Anyway, McDonald's in England.
Oh yeah, no. McDonald's in England is more or less the same, other than a few things on the menu. But when I went to Paris, it was a little different. I thought, you know, it was a little more
French.
Well, yeah, they took it more seriously.
Did you order a Royale with cheese?
Nico, I did not. Royale. I'm sorry. Wow. I'm sorry. All right. I was, and you know, it's funny.
You're fired.
Fuck. No, it was there too. I thought about it, but I never get that from McDonald's. I just don't eat that. I only order nuggets and fries because I'm weird like that.
Yeah.
You gotta think. Yeah.
You and I.
You're the weird one.
Well,
when I went, it was Because, like, the first night we were there, nobody wanted to go out because we just flew for fucking 14 hours. Mm-hmm. So we were like, okay, well, there's a McDonald's, like, 2 minutes from the hotel. We'll walk down and get
this
it.
This is Dubai, United Emirates. Or not yet.
United Arab Emirates. We'll go down, we'll get it, we'll come back to the hotel, we'll crash for the night, and in the morning we'll go out. I think there was one thing with beef on, like, it was a beef, like, patty. But I talked to them, like, has anyone ordered that? Because most of the people there are Muslim and all that.
Oh, sure.
And they're like, she's like, oh, I've never sold one. I think they do it for,
just for people like you.
Yeah, for tourists and for people who are from other countries who move there.
Right.
But so a lot of it was chicken. Most of it was chicken. The last, like, I ordered the chicken mac.
Which is
a Big Mac, but instead of beef patties, it's like McChicken patties.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
but it's with the sauce.
But
and it's
the full size of a patty.
Yeah.
And you put wow.
Yeah.
So just a chicken patty. Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that was really a lot of chicken because that's
right.
You know what they eat.
The culture.
They eat that, and there was some veggie options that we don't have. Mm-hmm. It was interesting.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I didn't think McDonald's was the most, like, radically different fast food chain that I came across when I was abroad. The most noticeable chain that was just so different that I couldn't stand was Subway. Subway in England is terrible. It's not the same.
Not have, like, the cold cut combo?
They don't have
foot long, not a thing.
They have one.
Or the meter long, whatever they want to go.
that's close to 3 feet. Nope, not that.
No, it's like the stripped down, like, healthy idea of what Subway should, like, more healthy.
It's what Subway is supposed to be, but because we're American, we're like, nah, we're gonna put, like, extra mayo on it.
No,
Subway doesn't actually work? Has Jared been lying to me all these years?
No, Subway is one of the healthier things, but, like, we've, like, created sandwiches in America. In the American subways, that, like, just have a shit ton of bacon on them now.
Yeah. But no, that's true. It felt like the sandwiches were like organic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there were only like two types of cheese that you could order.
Well, I mean, it's all a cultural thing.
Yeah, I know.
Because, like, in India, a lot of their things have like lamb patties.
Lamb patties.
Instead of beef, they have a lot of, like, veggie wraps as opposed to, you know, McChicken or something like that.
I know Italy also serves, like, pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, it's...
But I don't know why you would order pizza at McDonald's. Pizza McDonald's. If you're in fucking Italy. Yeah. By the way...
I also don't know why, if you're going to Italy, why you're going to a McDonald's. Like, at that point, splurge and get, like, actual pasta.
I have to express that the pizza in Florence was the best thing I've ever tasted in my entire life.
Wow. Are you a pizza guy?
Yes.
Okay.
And I know you're...
He's not.
But it was
He's not a cheese guy.
All right. But no, it was like...
Or tomato sauce. Or
or pepperoni.
Or pepperoni. Yeah.
Or bread guy, for that matter.
Really? Bread? Oh.
Yeah, no.
But no, it was like...
No, he's down to like four things.
Good for you, Nico.
Get ready for December, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on in December?
Don't worry about it. Go ahead.
Okay. Oh, We're doing it on the podcast.
Are we?
Yes.
Are we forcing him to eat?
I can't think of a worse idea, but okay.
Oh, God.
If Nick and I had to play fucking Bean Boozled, you're eating something.
We'll give it a shot. All right.
No, I was just saying that the experience with eating Florence pizza was like that, the ending scene. Well, not the ending scene, but the conclusion of Ratatouille when Ego is having the food. And then it's just this amazing epiphany that he has. Right. It's exactly like that. I just could not believe what was happening.
Yeah, people... my dad's wife went to Italy on a Mediterranean cruise, and she said that was not only the best pizza, but obviously the best pasta she's ever had.
I didn't have pasta in Italy.
Well, yeah, you're wrong.
But,
yeah.
I'm wrong.
Okay. She said it was some of the best seafood she's had, just because, you know, southern Italy is basically all seafood.
Yeah.
And it's just.
It's like, yeah, you go there, you're like, how is it possible that at this other place in the world, food is so much advanced from where we are? It's like, it's crazy. It's like, how is America? We pride ourselves on being great at everything. Like, all we want is to be great, win the most gold medals, have the best tech companies, fucking kill it, bomb the shit out of everybody, and then, like, for some reason, food, we can't compete.
Well, here's the issue. I always thought of America wants to be the best just because they have the most things, not necessarily the best quality.
It's a quantity thing, not quality.
I was just about to say, it feels like we try to be the best in a very superficial and general sense.
How many do you have? Well, we have double that.
Yeah.
we're better because we have, 20 different styles of pizza and you have two. Suck it, bitch.
But those two styles are fucking amazing.
But the ones we have are shit. Yeah.
I will say this, is that English food is awful.
I get that impression.
It is terrible, and we are... Well,
because English food is very vinegary, isn't it? Like, they use a lot of vinegar, they use a lot of, Worcestershire sauce, which is vinegary.
Well, they give it to you, but it's not necessarily on it. Otherwise, it's very bland, in my opinion. The only thing that was good was occasionally the fish and chips, obviously. But that was about it.
Well, I always...
I don't know, name for me a distinct English food,
I guess. Just the fish and chips.
Fish and chips.
Right.
But when I think England, I always naturally start thinking of, Scottish foods like corned beef and cabbage, or Scottish food, bangers and mash, and things like that, which are good, but England doesn't really have anything.
Yeah. Because when I went to Dublin, the food there was actually excellent.
Yeah.
It was very good.
I think the only thing that I think I would try that's an English thing, besides obviously the dessert stuff, the what are they, biscuits, is that what they call cookies?
Yeah.
I would try those things, but I've always wanted to try an English breakfast.
I had an English breakfast. It was okay. It's all right.
Yeah, it's that, but that's what I feel like. I want to try it, but I feel like it's just gonna be, oh, okay.
No, it is very much like, all right,
yeah,
sure. American breakfast all the way.
What is England good at? Give me one thing where you're like, whoa, fucking England.
International super spice.
Okay, perhaps. I'll give you that one.
Comedy.
Comedy?
I do not like American comedy very much.
But the issue is you have to like British comedy. Like, there's such a huge distinction.
I
know a lot of people who hate British comedy.
I know.
I'm with you on that. I tend to like British comedy.
But,
guilty as charged. Yeah. No, fuck the Brits. Here's the thing.
Most of the shows on BBC One are good.
Culturally, first of all, they're too clever for their own goods. They think they're the smartest people in the world, and that's what I can't stand about British people. And it's like, they have been riding the fucking Shakespeare wave for far too long now. Seriously, they have been riding William Shakespeare's coattails centuries. Very long time. A very long time. I can't give you an exact number. Enough already. We get it. The greatest writer of all time, probably the greatest artist that had ever lived, came from your country. So fucking what? I don't know. And then you got Peter Sellers. And then you got Monty Python. Big fucking whoop. I don't know. You also made Pompidou. Get over yourselves. America is better than you culturally. And that's
yes.
And that's, But by the way, so is Italy. Yeah. So is, I don't know, dare I say Japan? Like, there are other countries.
That's 100% true.
Yeah, there are other countries that are just more significant. And England thinks that they're just the greatest as they take deep breaths through their noses.
England is like this monarch who has been around for so long.
Yeah.
And they've at points in time, they've controlled, dare I say, 95% of the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I think it's
again, like, though, but again, see, they think they're better than they actually are because Rome kicks their ass in that. The Roman Empire is like 50 trillion times as much land as England's ever had. Mm-hmm. Fucking, they can't lock down the EU, for God's sakes. Like, they're fucking small and insignificant. There, I said it. You had a baby, and your baby fucking achieved all your hopes and dreams, and you're living vicariously through us right now. You suck, British people. I'm sorry. Like your time is over. Give it up, and let America take over. Go in the retirement home, and we got this from here.
So, invade Great Britain.
Yeah, let's just do it.
Take them over.
Enough with the queen. Actually, once the queen dies, I'll let her, like, live out her life or whatever. Like, because I like the queen. She's adorable.
She's sassy.
Yeah.
Is she sassy?
That's one of my favorite memes, the sassy queen.
Yeah, sassy queen.
Love the sassy queen.
Once she dies, I think we can just give up on this whole Great Britain thing. There's nothing really to protect there.
Yeah.
What, a giant clock? Is that some dudes with funny hats? Get over yourself.
Some dudes with funny hats.
Are you talking about the palace guard? Is that what they're called?
Yes. Some dudes with funny hats, Nico Di Gregorio.
That's right. Yeah, the palace guard. There you go.
Yeah, they were weird, by the way. Yeah.
What countries did you travel to?
Okay, let's see.
Travels.
Just all the places I saw. Obviously, I went to London, but then I went to Amsterdam. Amsterdam's awesome, by the way.
Did you smoke some hash and get a hooker?
Okay. So Amsterdam's red light district is very interesting because I went on a tour and one of the first things they explained to us is that it's divided into these ethnic categories or just areas.
So in the red light district, there is
a fat Mexican area.
Oh.
Yes.
Is there a skinny Mexican area?
That's like a legitimate...
Yes.
It's like the categories of porn, except real life.
Yes, exactly.
I was going to say Jim Crow laws, but we're close enough here.
but it was weird, and there's all these fat Mexicans just posing and literally advertising themselves, and then you go over here.
Yeah, because they do it as like a storefront mannequin.
Yes, no,
like that,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And then you go over here, and this is like the Jewish section, and this is the Jewish section. The skinny Latino section, whatever.
Oh, no.
Yeah. It was just
incredibly well organized.
It was just so.
Some were the concentration camps. They were also very. No, this is just tinges of racism. I'm not comfortable with these overtones here in Amsterdam's red light district.
Well.
Hey, sometimes you're just in the mood for something different.
I guess, yeah, sure.
I did not get a hooker. I promise I did not get a hooker, guys.
He didn't say anything about the hash.
You didn't have to clarify.
I'm just,
but,
yes.
But I
did
appreciate
you smoke
that
some
you
hash?
Clarified anyway.
Did I smoke some hash?
That's a yes.
What is hash?
Hash is... It's weed, but it's not weed.
Okay.
It's okay. Just, it's...
No, I didn't... Yes, the answer is 100% yes. No, it's you know, it's like when in Rome, except, you know, when in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
But no, we went into, you know, coffee shops because they're not allowed to call them, you know, place where you buy weed.
Yeah, you can't call them like hash.
Because it's not legal in Amsterdam.
Interesting.
It is actually not legal. It's just allowed. It's hard to explain. It's like, right. Because it's such
But in those coffee shops, they get like permits for people to do it in their restaurant. But once you're out of it.
Yeah.
Like, then you can be arrested for it.
But even then, the cops will just be like, just go over here.
Yeah.
Basically, is what happens. It's so loose there. And, yeah, it brings in so much revenue that they're like, we just have to keep it like this. But I went out one night, and a buddy of mine, his name was Victor. He was, like, Filipino-Canadian. It's an interesting mix. But he's like, I'm going to get you a brownie and a joint.
Okay.
That was interesting. I only had half the brownie, and I was like, oh, nothing's happening. And then I just sit, and I'm waiting, and then I'm waiting, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah.
That Amsterdam weed. So dank.
I don't remember that night very well.
So dank.
So dank. Yeah, wow. I just used the word dank on a podcast.
So where else have you gone?
Okay. let's see. On my spring break, I went to, first it was Athens, and then Budapest, Rome, Florence, Venice, Prague, Berlin, Paris.
Whoa, wow.
Yep.
Wow.
And then I also went to Dublin, and I was in Liverpool, you know. Liverpool, whatever.
Yeah,
it was cool though. I got some rocks for my mom because she's a big Beatles fan. She said, "Bring me back Liverpool rocks." I was like, "Okay,
wow, yeah. Okay."
So
dope.
Yeah. So that's all the places I saw. I'm trying to think of any places I missed, but
McDonald's and only a few of it. Those. That's
yes. The real. Yeah. Oh yeah, we're back to McDonald's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I'd love to.
Oh, Barcelona! I forgot Barcelona.
That was your favorite place.
Yes.
Right?
Oh yeah.
How could I forget that? Jesus.
Yeah. You tell me about that. Dope.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. How we get on that? Oh, that's right. Nick was at eating at McDonald's. Yes. Okay. Here. Now we're actually going to talk about Gene Wilder passed away this week.
Yeah.
The great Gene Wilder, star of such classics as Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, The Producers, and especially 1986's. Haunted Honeymoon, the film that we will be recapping this week in honor of the late, great Gene Wilder.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And who wants to explain this thing? Because I really can't explain the plot of it, because we're going to dissect the plot, talk about Gene Wilder's performance. Let's talk about Gene Wilder first. And
just our thoughts on Gene Wilder.
Your thoughts on him and what he, I guess, meant to your young movie viewing, because he certainly meant a lot to mine.
No, he did to me. I grew up with Gene Wilder, especially with Willy Wonka.
Sure.
Yeah, Willy Wonka was 100%. Was one of the first movies I ever saw as a kid. Mm-hmm. It's one of my first film viewing memories, believe it or not. It's like that, Men in Black, and like Jaws. No, seriously.
Wow, that's a great trio. What a trilogy.
Yeah, the Holy Trinity right there.
Yeah. I'm still kind of bummed about his passing, seriously. That was upsetting.
Willy Wonka.
2016 has been a terrible year, by the way.
It really has.
Fuck 2016.
Yeah, so Willy Wonka is a weird role, because I was thinking about it retroactively, and it's like, I was trying to come up with the difference. Why is Gene Wilder's performance great and Johnny Depp so terrible? Like, and I was trying to figure out what the problem was there, and what Johnny Depp didn't translate, and what he didn't learn from Gene Wilder. And I'm just thinking about it, and I'm like, Johnny Depp was so weird and so out there and childish and bizarre.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, wait a minute. Gene Wilder is known for being weird. What's the difference here? And I think what Gene Wilder understood was that he brought a warmth and humanity to his weirdness, and his weirdness was understood. It's not that, like, it wasn't that he held back, or that he was somehow not or inauthentic. Like, he was still very bizarre and odd, especially in Haunted Honeymoon.
I mean,
it's a very weird movie. But he brought it to your level, and he still felt like he's a guy that you could be friends with.
It doesn't feel faked.
He didn't. It was like, so Johnny Depp's performance was weird for the sake of being weird.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Tim Burton.
Very Tim Burton, yeah. Because,
mm-hmm.
Well. And then, but then Gene Wilder, he almost like, the best way I could take it is he goes weird, but he like is holding your hand through it.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it.
So you don't ever get like freaked out about it,
mm-hmm.
and you're just like, oh, like, this is kind of cool, mm-hmm. but he's not like over the top about it, which is nice.
Right.
Holding your hand. The only part where that's, I would disagree with that, is the tunnel sequence.
Is the tunnel.
Obviously.
Yeah, but that's the thing about that movie. It's like he has to simultaneously be this mysterious, freaky guy that almost not quite scares you, but you're not sure of his intentions, and you're not sure about, you know, his background, and there's a lot of weird behind-the-scenes stuff going on. But at the same time, he also has to be a father figure to Charlie. He has to be this sort of nurturing presence that takes him under his wing and shows him his ways. And it's like, that's very hard to do. And Johnny Depp certainly doesn't do that.
No.
Johnny Depp is a man-child.
Yep.
Johnny Depp is just over the top and bizarre, and you never feel like you want to hang out with this guy.
I was going to say, they're two completely different characters.
Sure. Yeah, no, they are. But with Gene, I don't know. I think he just understood what needed to happen precisely when it needed to happen. Because even, I don't think I could name somebody who can come out of pure imagination, mm-hmm. you know, to the...
I watched that scene the other day. Little tear.
Yeah. To Augustus Gloop being sucked up to this terrifying Like, I remember as a kid, it terrified me, and I couldn't watch the movie for a while after that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, boom, the next thing you know, he's, you know, Violet Beauregard is blowing up, and then they're in the car wash. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, it's... His timing with what he said and how he said it, I don't think people really understand that. That's not something you can really learn. That's just something you're born with.
Actually, you know what that is, though? That is like this old school song and dance man, like old school Hollywood type, where it's very much of the stage. And if you're like, if you were in Hollywood pre, I don't know, 1950, but actually pre-Brando, whenever that was, whenever he came onto the scene, it was like you learned the craft of show business. Like you had to be able to sing and dance and be able to act, and you had to be most of the time decent looking, and you had to be both the romantic lead and the comedic lead and the dramatic lead and all
that. Yeah, it was
things.
Like, who's the tap dancing guy?
From what, Singing in the Rain?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What the hell was his name?
Are you talking about him or are you talking about Mary Poppins, Dick Van Dyke?
No, I'm not talking about Dick Van Dyke. Dick Van Dyke was
Fuck, what the hell? From Singing in the Rain?
Shit.
Hold on.
Fuck, what was it?
We're young. We're millennials.
I know this, though.
We're allowed to not know this.
Yeah. No, I know it
because... Adam, we're allowed to not know this.
No, I know it because I saw it, like, yesterday. I saw something about it yesterday.
You know what's Singing in the Rain
is? What was it?
In the Rain.
It was something Kelly.
Gene Kelly. Yeah.
Gene Kelly.
Yeah, that's okay.
Damn it.
Yeah, no. Yes.
Damn,
no.
We should have known that.
Very much so. Okay. And actually, in 2016, someone, even though I'm not a huge fan of this person, but Seth MacFarlane has always sort of stressed, that's why you see musical influence in a lot of the stuff that he does. He very much believes that if you are in Hollywood, you should be able to do everything. And I think like Gene Wilder is one of the last. I don't think he's the last because Mel Brooks is still alive. Mm. But he's one of the last sort of...
That's a
bad year. This thing's happened.
Terrible year. Come on. A few more months.
But yeah, it's like, you know... Yeah, he was able to do everything. Like he was just trained to be able to do everything. He was in The Producers, and then he also did like really weird comedy, and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory too was a very sweet family movie.
Yeah,
he's just a more well-rounded actor. If we're comparing him to Johnny Depp, Johnny Depp plays, you know, the same kind of goofy character.
He plays either a drunk, or a guy who has mental issues.
Yeah,
those are his two roles basically.
And by the way, I'm sorry to say this, I have fully come to the realization that Johnny Depp is not a good actor. Like, I'm just...
No, I mean, he has his moments.
I don't know.
Like, I think Fear and Loathing...
Okay.
He did... wasn't great.
I didn't love Black Mass, but he was fine in that.
See, I saw Black Mass, and I was hearing, like, yo, Johnny Depp is gonna blow your mind in Black Mass. Like, fucking, he's Brando in The Godfather.
No!
And I see Black Mass, and I'm like, okay, yeah, he was fine, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, he was a good murderous psychopath, I suppose. Like, I don't know. Like, and maybe it's that he makes bad choices. That's what I thought beforehand. Like, wow, Johnny Depp just doesn't know how to choose a role.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, no, he's...
I can only name really a few movies I've seen of his that I'm like, oh, he did a good job.
Honestly, good job. Pirates of the Caribbean is his best performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, Fear and Loathing, and then
what about Ed Wood?
I like Edward Scissorhands.
Ed Wood. I haven't seen Ed Wood. Have you seen Ed Wood?
I have, but that's.
But I'm saying that. Oh shit! I lost it. And him in Blow.
I haven't seen.
I liked him in Blow.
I haven't seen Blow either. I haven't seen Blow.
It's not a bad movie. It's a good like Sunday movie.
It's the like where he's like the.
But see, even Ed Wood's another one. Like A traditional sort of Hollywood biopic, but the weirdest version of that movie. Like, I've seen a lot of movies like Ed Wood, but Johnny Depp just can't help himself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like he just, I don't know, like, just play it straight once. Like, I guess Black Mass was his attempt to do so, and I was bored by it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe he's just not my type of actor.
All right, yeah.
You know,
maybe he's just not humble enough, and maybe Gene Wilder just is. Who knows?
Maybe that's what it could be.
I don't know.
Yeah, those guys didn't take themselves seriously either.
No.
Like, Gene Wilder didn't, like, oh, I need my Oscar movie. Yeah. Like, he made fucking Blazing Saddles, and that's just as good.
He did it for the sake of doing it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, he didn't do it for the glory of the well, I shouldn't say not for the money, but...
It was his job.
But, yeah, it was his job, but...
No, there's this thing with these actors, especially comedic ones, is at a certain point in their career, and this is probably like a new thing, but they need to be taken seriously. Like, there's this thing, like, everybody from Jim Carrey to fucking...
Jim Carrey was the first one I thought of, too.
Yeah.
I thought Robin Williams was the first one.
No, Robin Williams started as a dramatic actor, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was always an actor. Like, he was great at comedy, but he was always an actor.
Well, I'm just saying...
Well, he was a comedian.
That's what I'm...
And an actor.
That's what I'm talking
there was
about.
That separation between
But no, but there's
two.
The thing, though. The comedy came afterward.
Yeah.
He became a stand-up late in his career because he said, I'm going to try stand-up, and happened to be great.
And he just happened to be one of the greatest improv artists ever.
Yeah. Jim Carrey is just, fucking slapstick, and then he makes, what was that dramatic movie, The Number 23?
Number 23.
He did all, like, that horrible movie. Actually, no. Well,
he's got some good ones.
Haven't seen that one. What
about Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, I guess.
What about, The Truman Show's all right? Not a fan of The Truman Show?
Still a comedy, though.
It's still comedy.
Not an Oscar bait movie, though.
Comedy? I don't know about that.
I mean, it's
Here's
not...
another one for you, Steve Carell. Yeah. Steve Carell now has said, I'm done doing comedy. I'm past my office days. Yeah. I'm going to now be a serious actor and only do drama. And it's like, sure.
But I thought you said he was good in, was it Foxcatcher?
Foxcatcher. I don't know. I want to see more fun Steve Carell. I want to see more Evan Almighty's. I don't know.
The issue is if Steve Carell...
Bored by Foxcatcher, put it that way. I was bored by Foxcatcher.
If Steve Carell I'm going to stop doing comedies, but that entails I'm just going to stop acting, I don't think it would be that big of an issue.
Okay.
Like, yeah, I'd like to see Steve Carell in things, of course. I love Steve Carell, but if he chose to stop, I'd be like, okay, he had a good run. He tried it.
Sure. No, I was just going to comment on Foxcatcher. Foxcatcher is one of those perfect movies for me that I watched it and I was like, this is a very, 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 very well-made film in almost every regard. I don't ever want to see it again.
And I can't wait till it's over.
Yeah,
and
Yes,
I will never
see it. Is that what it is?
That's exactly what it is. I appreciated the artistry of it, and I appreciated the direction, and the performances I thought were all tremendous. Like Channing Tatum, Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo especially, I thought.
Oh my God. Yeah. Next level in that movie. Yeah. And Steve Carell, like, a revelation too, but it's just, oh my God, just fucking shoot me.
Yeah, it's like Requiem for a Dream. It's like, I can't go through this again.
That's a different experience altogether.
But it's the same idea.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No, Gene Wilder, yeah, so he's dead now and he will be missed. But of course, we couldn't just watch one of his modern we couldn't watch Young Frankenstein to talk about it here. Have to watch cult classic.
I might watch Young Frankenstein tomorrow, though, not gonna lie.
I should revisit all of those. I haven't seen I've seen Blazing Saddles recently. I saw that within the last, 5 years or so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Young Frankenstein I watched when I was, 10.
Same. It was forever ago.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein is a movie I watch every year.
Oh, is it really?
Is it really?
I love Young Frankenstein, yeah.
What are your thoughts on Mel Brooks? Because they collaborated quite a bit. Do you like Mel Brooks comedies?
I love Mel Brooks.
I haven't seen the one that he did with Leslie Nielsen, which is a stupid Dracula vampire thing.
I haven't seen that either.
But all of his other movies. Okay.
What's it called?
Oh, I can't fucking remember it.
All right. Yeah. Dracula.
I don't. Was it?
No.
I like Mel Brooks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm a sucker for them. I don't think it's highbrow comedy, but I'm okay with it.
No.
Like, there's just some, lowbrow comedy that I'm, fine with it. Not everything has to be super clever, witty dialogue. No. Not everything has to be written by Larry David for me to find it.
No. Well, I think with Mel Brooks is he understood that sometimes it doesn't need to be an obvious joke.
Mm-hmm.
It can be sort of in the background.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
But there's sometimes you need to get, slapped in the face with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, in History of the World,
part one.
I love that.
Yeah.
When the guards come running up and he says, "We're looking for a pack of Trojans," and the guy just goes, "Just ran out." you get slapped in the face with that. But,
good stuff.
It's great.
A lot of detail.
One of my favorite jokes in every Mel Brooks movie, all of his movies, is actually the opening shot of Spaceballs with the ship.
It keeps going for 3 minutes. Yeah.
And you don't, and it's one of those things where the joke doesn't reveal itself until the 30 seconds.
Right. and then you realize, oh,
okay. That's, That's clever to me.
My like favorite moment, though, is at the very start of the Spanish Inquisition. I was just watching that the other day with someone who's never seen it, who's never seen History of the World.
So good.
It, part one.
Yes.
And you get the title card, boom, the Spanish Inquisition. And you get the guys being tortured and all this stuff. And then Mel Brooks just comes out and the music starts. And I look over and they're holding back fucking laughter. And I'm like, that's what it's about. You yeah. don't know that he's going to do this big, jazzy, stage chorus line number about the fucking Inquisition.
Yeah. Are you guys aware that Gene Wilder was in Bonnie and Clyde?
Which he was?
Yes, he was.
The one with Faye Dunaway?
Yeah.
The original one with, like, the good ending? Good yeah. ending. The well-known ending.
Yeah,
with
what body clad are you talking about?
they always end the same way.
Yeah.
No, I've seen a few that... Well, I'm talking about, like, the famous Bonnie and Clyde death scene.
You mean
I've seen a couple Bonnie and Clyde scenes
spoiler
that...
Spoiler alert!
Do you mean, like, movies that are kind of themed after Bonnie
and Clyde? No, I've seen a couple Bonnie and Clyde movies that... Yeah, they end with them being shot, but it's not done that way. It's just like, oh, dead.
Oh, no, they got fucked up.
Yeah, no, they got fucked up.
Yeah.
He was in that?
He played...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I lost the name.
Oh, I actually have another Johnny Depp movie. Oh, sorry, I just thought of it. I liked Public Enemy.
I never seen it.
Yeah, I like it.
I liked it. It was good.
Michael Mann, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I love Michael Mann.
And of course, I absolutely love, not really a Johnny Depp movie, but he's in it. It's his first film, is A Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm a big fan of A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay. Yeah. Wasn't he in Tusk?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, he was. He played Guy at La Puente,
yeah.
However the fuck you say it.
Yeah, no, I'm over Michael Mann shit. That's why I didn't see Public Enemy. I'm just over shit.
No,
I didn't see the fucking, what's the one with the Hemsworth with the shit?
Oh, Black Hat? I didn't see
Black Hat. Oh. Fucking,
what,
I don't know anybody who's seen Black
not
Hat.
Not a fan of Heat?
I love Heat, but okay, that was 20 years ago.
That's true.
Public
Enemy is alright.
And The Insider. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Quit riding that wave, Michael Mann. Like, fucking make a decent thriller these days. How about
stop
that?
Stop being England.
Yeah. Like, we get it. Heat was great, but all right, let's make something
let's
else.
Going.
Actually, I really do like Collateral though.
Yeah,
Collateral's
I
dope.
Wait,
Collateral.
Is that the one with the
it's Tom Cruise?
Tom Cruise,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that's great. Man.
Collateral's dope.
Yeah, it is.
I didn't kill him. The bullet in the fall killed him.
Oh, man.
With that fucking
No, I did like that movie. That was a good movie.
No, that's a great movie.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx? Is that
Jamie Foxx?
Yeah,
Fox. Jamie Foxx. Yeah, yeah.
Mark Ruffalo's in that too.
Is he really?
No, he's not.
He's one of the cops.
Huh.
Swear to God.
Mark. Oh, yeah, he is. He dies pretty early, though.
Yeah.
He dies
right after the nightclub.
Yeah, right in the night. That's right. The nightclub.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh. There you go. Yeah. Collateral. Okay, never mind. Michael Mann, you're back in my good. Okay, no. Gene Wilder. No, we watched him. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, we watched a movie called Haunted Honeymoon. It was written, directed, and starring Gene Wilder. Where should we begin with this thing? Someone explain the plot. Adam, explain the plot.
Okay, so this guy.
Well, he really is replacing Nick, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, so there's this guy, this cool dude who works on the radio with his wife, and
soon to be
wife, yeah, his fiance, and yeah, they're
his fiance.
But he's I guess he's scared very easily by stuff, and they have their honeymoon at his old mansion. And for some reason, some guy...
hold on.
Okay.
In the description, it's called a castle.
Okay.
Continue.
The castle. The castle. Anyway, they coop up in his castle, but little do they know that this guy is trying to save his career by...
His uncle.
His uncle is trying to save his career by scaring him to death.
To death.
To death. I...
Dun-dun-dun.
But then there's also maybe a ploy that's maybe some guy's actually trying to kill him, and it's this weird kind of clue mystery, but...
This is all taking place, like, the night before the wedding.
Yes.
Let's be clear about this.
Yes.
Right.
And it's... This is one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. By far.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, not for the horror, though. okay, so... Dom DeLuise specifically in his makeup. That's what I was going to say about. Okay, so yeah, the movie opens though in a radio studio and establishes who these characters are. And Gene Wilder's character, what's his name, Larry?
Larry Abbott.
Yes, is unable to perform his job, essentially. Like, he's messing up lines, and he's been stuttering a lot, and he's always worried about if his tie is straight or not. And yes, essentially that
he's... Yeah, your tie's good.
Right. It's that he's so easily scared, so the only way to cure him is to scare him to death. This... yes. He is a doctor. He's like a psychiatrist, right?
His uncle is a psychiatrist. He's just
so happens to be a psychiatrist as well. And
like, in like a world-renowned psychiatrist.
How did he know to show up to the radio station?
He was called.
He was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, I didn't.
He was called by like the head of the radio station.
I like how dramatic they made it. They should have made him more like.
Yeah. Apparently, also movies happen in his head because like, yeah. There was a great 80s special effect where it showed his entire ploy transposed on his head. Okay, here's a question for you.
Yes.
Would you trust a fat doctor?
Fat doctor or fat psychiatrist?
Any field.
What's
medical?
Medical doctor?
No.
Fat.
Academic?
What are you getting
at? Dietitian? No.
What are you getting at with this?
Here's my question. Have you ever seen a fat doctor before?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Actually, I don't think I have.
I never have.
My therapist visit, it was a fat dude.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did you trust him?
Yeah.
Did you say, yeah, are you more or less likely to know how to solve my psychological problems because you're fat?
I have expected him to just say, oh, what's that? You feeling sad? Eat something. No, that's bad. No,
that's my thing. No, but no, but it's gotta be. Fat doctors, your first gut's like, yeah, no, you're depressed here. Have a cookie. Like, that's how you cope. I feel like, doctor, this is an unhealthy coping mechanism.
But no, like I said, I'll trust them for anything like besides... like anything like actual medically because
fat
I
mean, surgeon
surgeon maybe but I'm saying like medical doctor like you go and they write you your prescriptions a dietitian I
no
because why are they like that if they're a fucking dietitian
so they're just you're calling them big ass hypocrites or something
I'm saying they're like they'd be like, okay, here's the deal. You bring me all your junk food. I'll dispose of it for you.
That's absurd.
Yeah, no, okay. Trust a fat doctor. Yeah, so he is planning this whole scheme. And they go out for the wedding and all the family comes and meets at the family castle. And it includes the butler.
I'm on a family castle.
Yes. It includes the butler, yeah, his uncle, his cousin. Is his father there?
Is his father there?
His father,
is
no.
Is Larry's father dead?
I think so.
Who was Larry's father?
I don't know.
You don't know.
Isn't that old guy?
Who was that old the old guy? Who,
yeah, the guy who kicked the dog?
The guy that kicked the dog. Who kicked the dog? The guy with
white hair.
Yes, the guy that was in the aunt's, he was working on the aunt's will.
No, uncle. That was uncle.
Yeah. Okay, that was uncle.
The only father who wasn't there was Larry's.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And we don't know what happened to Larry's father.
I guess not.
I guess we assume that he's dead because his mother was dead.
Yeah.
Struck by lightning in a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
Right after she said, oh, lightning can't hurt you.
That must be so fucking.
What dramatic irony! Yeah. What dramatic irony! Just Gene Wilder, an expert of irony. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, who else is at this party here? Because explain to me the family members. Because here's my main question too about it: is they all seem to be odd ages.
Yes.
Like the uncle seems to be older than the nephew, and the son could be about the father's age, and the aunt, forget about her, who knows how old she is. And it's like, who's who here? Like, I don't know what the ages are.
Well, I pointed this out when we were watching it. It was like the butler seems like he's relatively the same age as Gene Wilder, but they make a point about how he used to be bathed by him. So I was,
yeah.
I was, this is very distracting.
That was last summer.
very specific point too. You didn't tuck me in, you bathed me. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, let's make it a little less creepy. Okay, yeah. So Charles, played by Jonathan Pryce, High Sparrow from Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
He is Larry's...
The president in G.I. Joe.
Yes. Oh, okay. I haven't seen G.I. Joe.
You don't need to.
I figured.
You really don't need to. You only need to see it for Snake Eyes and
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Snake Eyes is the guy in all black with the swords.
Okay.
he really doesn't care.
Yeah, that's his cousin. Aunt Kate is sort of like the matriarch. Is that the right word?
Is that patriarch?
Patriarch.
Yes. She's
the head of the fucking family. Yeah.
In the movie, it's a matriarch because it's a woman, but it's played by a dude.
So I was Tom right. Tellerie. Yeah, so I was right. Yeah, okay, yeah. Patriarch is male matriarch. Yeah. Yes, she is the matriarch of this family. She has assembled, she owns the house, she has left castle. Money.
Yes.
Yeah, she owns the council. has left the money in the will just to go to Larry, because she loves Larry so much.
And trusts Larry.
Right, but they found out, or someone asked some sort of question, if something were to happen to old Larry, yep. then the money would be divided evenly amongst the rest of the family. So, there are motivations by some in that family... to make sure Larry doesn't make it past old Aunt Kate over there. By the way, very uninspired names here. This is like a very like old school, like vaudevillian sort of
I've seen worse, I guess, but I mean it's not like Joseph Cooper from Interstellar, you know.
Yes.
that I hate that shit. JC and you're the savior of mankind. Fuck off.
Very
that's
bad.
All, that's all I have to say.
Larry, Vicky, Kate, Charles, Frank, or Francis. Oh, Francis Sr. Oh, Francis Sr. That's right, because Francis Jr. is the one that dresses
is the
up
one who,
in the aunt's clothing all the time that got murdered in this. Mm-hmm. Played by Maester Aemon from Game of Thrones.
Yep.
Game of Thrones.
It's a real cast.
That's where they got their casting ideas from this movie.
Paul L. Smith plays Dr. Paul Abbott.
Now the only one other person they need in Game of Thrones is Dom DeLuise.
That's right. Wow, what a casting that would be. Isn't he dead though?
Dom DeLuise? I think so.
Pretty sure he died. Yeah. Okay.
Then they really need to get him. He'll be a White Walker.
Yeah, you needed him yesterday.
Oh my god.
Okay, so yeah, this is essentially the family lineage. And so they assemble in this house. They all sort of conspire to make sure that they scare Larry out of his disease, essentially.
Yeah, that's what everyone is led to believe.
Right.
I mean, that's what everyone agrees on, is what I should say.
Right. But then, at the same time, these bodies start popping up, or at least two bodies.
And a werewolf.
Yeah. Exactly.
And the werewolf.
And the werewolf.
I can't get over that.
I don't even know where to go. This is such a complicated plot. A needlessly elaborate plot now. But yeah, so Dom DeLuise, who plays Aunt Kate, they're at the dinner table having dinner, and they're all like chatting, and they're, you know, reconvening, catching up on what's happened in their lives recently, and she just drops the line, I know that one of you is a werewolf.
Yeah.
And just silence.
Gives us a history lesson about why she knows that.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, let's go.
Yes.
And then leaves.
Yeah, no. They're all on the same page.
Okay, so why did that need to be in the movie?
Well, you see, Gene Wilder thought it would be cool, and he was pulling the strings.
Okay. I mean, who wouldn't, if you had the opportunity to put the line in, I know one of you is a werewolf.
Why wouldn't you?
Like, why wouldn't you? Like, if there's any way to work that in somehow to a screenplay, like, I feel like, you know.
It's your duty to.
Yeah,
that
that's just
it?
Screenwriting 101 right
That was there. Actually a line originally in Citizen Kane, but they decided to
okay. They scrapped it on the cutting room floor. Right. Like, we'll never put it over one.
That was, it was actually, it wasn't supposed to be Rosebud.
Rosebud.
It was supposed to be.
Oh my god.
The name of the sled was One of You Is a Werewolf.
Orson Welles was just like, wow. Can't really fit that on the whole the label right there. I'm gonna,
oh my god.
I'm gonna shorten that a little bit.
That would have been I think that would have been a great ending.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, oh, what was Rosebud? Oh, maybe it's something he lost. What is? I know one of you is a werewolf. I don't know, but I'm getting the fuck out of here. I can tell you that. Movie would have ended quickly.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a werewolf that is lurking around the facilities, and seems to be on a plot to kill one of these characters. We've come to find out that person was Larry. Needless to say, this is not actually a werewolf. This is a guy in a werewolf. Yeah, hitman with a werewolf mask on. And he botches the job, and then whoever the real mastermind behind this whole plot is, the guy that ordered the hitman to take out Larry, takes out the hitman instead, puts on the werewolf mask, and starts lurking around. But really, the actual point of that line was to essentially make Aunt Kate look crazy, and the whole family is doubting what is going on.
Yeah.
Yes.
No one's ever aware. They're also doubting Larry's intentions as well. Mm-hmm. They think that he is the killer at one point. So yeah, a lot of other kooky characters as well, including the magician. Let's talk about the magician for a second.
Yes.
What was this dude's point?
I don't know.
I feel like it's one of those things that, like, was supposed to be something, but it didn't end up being it, and then they were just like, okay, well, like, forget that story, but then they just kept him in.
Yeah,
type of thing.
Well, there were those two incredibly pointless characters, like the magician and the Jonathan Pryce's girlfriend, whatever, who kept trying to fuck.
Eve Ferret.
Eve
was the fucking Barrett. Actress's name.
What a name. But nothing what a like, name. But no name. Like, the name of all names. One Brian Pringle.
Who was the butler?
Who played Feister. That's actually Feister, a good
yeah.
one. Played Feister.
That's actually, yeah.
Yeah, Feister. Yeah, I get my insurance from him all the time.
Feister.
Yeah, Brian Pringle. Yeah.
Feister, Lehman, and...
that's right.
Goldstein.
Yeah. Oh. Hot insurance jokes right now. Why is this a thing? Sizzling hot insurance material. Figured I'd workshop that a little bit on the podcast this week. We can put that in the whole stand-up act later.
And our sponsors tonight.
Sizzling hot. Yeah, so he's a character that apparently can, I don't know, hypnotize people with his eyes or something.
Could he actually do it?
I don't know.
That's the question. Did he actually have magical powers, or was he an illusionist?
I don't know. That's the thing. Like, because he was doing it on people who I thought were in on it, right?
But then, well, because he did it on, I guess she's the maid. Also, the wife of Feister.
What's her name? Nora? Is it Nora? No, Sylvia. No, not Sylvia.
I think it is Sylvia.
Sylvia?
Is it Sylvia?
No. Sylvia's
Rachel.
Sylvia's the girlfriend that I was talking about who just...
Rachel.
Yes.
Rachel.
But no, so... Because she was like, oh, I don't know you.
Yeah.
And then the hypnotizing thing happened and his eyes got white and the lights went out, essentially. And then she was just like, oh, come in. But then it happened to Larry. Larry. And then nothing. Nothing happened.
It was... It's just totally pointless.
What a shitty magician. It felt like every other Chris Angel trick. Like, it was just so...
I mean, we saw the string.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, there was a string that made the thing levitate. He had really no point. He was, I guess, involved in the plot to scare Larry because he was walking on the wall.
Yeah, because he was doing the wall.
Yeah, but... he had the mask and, I mean, I guess an impressive illusion, but, again, like... What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point, you fucking bozo?
I also have a question. Did this movie need a dance number?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah,
no, 100%.
Do you disagree?
I don't know. Maybe. I'm still debating it with myself.
No, on list of things this movie needed, I think more dance numbers should be number one.
100,000%. If this was a full-on musical, like if this was just Rocky Horror Picture Show all the way, I would have loved it like 20 times
Boom.
More.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't really like it. I think this is a bad movie. But if this was a musical number, those are my favorite parts.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise dances with Gene Wilder's girlfriend, and they do a little song and dance about...
Gilda
Radner, yeah. Gilda Radner. Who was married to Gene Wilder, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Before she passed away. Yeah, she was on Saturday Night Live. So they do a little dance number. I guess that was fine. It was weird. Like, Dom DeLuise didn't really have much to do in this movie.
No.
And I was kind of disappointed by that, because I enjoyed his performance.
You want to hear a fun fact about him?
Hit me.
Right now? He won a Razzie.
Oh, yeah?
For this movie.
Oh, Jesus.
That makes sense.
If you had to guess what the Razzie was for.
Worst actress?
Yes. Worst supporting actress.
Well, no, because I know Adam Sandler, he won back-to-back Razzies in the same year for Jack and Jill. He had worst actor and worst actress.
Yeah.
He won both of them in the same year. That makes sense. How many Razzies? That was the only Razzie that came out that year?
That
the movie won?
I don't know. It was just in my fun fact page.
Here we go. One award win. Razzie Award. Razzie, worst supporting actress. Yes, Dom DeLuise. That makes sense. Yeah, no, I loved him in this movie. I enjoyed him. Yeah. He paved the way for one of my favorite television performances of the last year, Louis Anderson in the show Baskets. Oh, Baskets is a dope-ass show.
I have to watch
it. And Louis Anderson plays Zach Galifianakis' mother. And the thing that's so great is it's not, he doesn't put on a voice. It's like Dom DeLuise at least attempts to sort of be in drag and sort of make like a woman shtick. Louis Anderson just puts on a dress and has Louis Anderson's voice. Like, it's no, it's a dress and a wig, and it just sounds like Louis Anderson. And you're like, yeah, I could see this being an old fat mother. Like, I could, like, yeah, this is, I could see her at a Bible study somewhere. Yeah. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Mm, no, great dance number. Again, it's a Gene Wilder movie. We need some song and dance. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Chekhov's vase was identified very early on. Or vase.
Vase.
How do we pronounce vase?
Vase.
Well, it depends. Is it a vase or is it a vase?
Are they different?
I actually do think, like, a vase is used for, like, antiquities and obviously, like really expensive ones. And vase is just, like, one of the cheap plastic ones. Or cheap, even, I guess, glass ones that you just put flowers on.
Or is it that those that own expensive vases pronounce them vase?
That's what I was...
Maybe.
I think
I don't
that's
know.
What it is.
I don't
think
know
it's,
more towards that.
You know what I mean? I think it's more of a cultural thing.
Yeah.
But again, you've never heard of, like, a cheap dollar store vase being called, oh, put it in the vase. No, it's a fucking vase.
Yeah, I don't know who anybody that pronounces it a vase.
I've never heard... I've never actually heard curators. Anyone call it a vase.
Curators?
Museum curators?
I don't know any museum curators, I hate to say. Do you know any?
I've met one.
I'd love to get a cup of coffee.
When I was at the museum, I met one. Does that count?
Sure.
What a job. Yeah, so that was identified early on. I guess we can fast forward to the end and we'll hit a couple points a little bit afterwards. But that vase is a rare antique. There's only three of them in the world. It costs $5,000. Well, now there's only two. Because when it is revealed that Jonathan Pryce's character is the killer, is the one that has been trying to get Larry... by the way...
Dead.
Dead. Trying to get him dead, yeah.
Get him dead.
Get him dead!
Kill him dead.
Kill him dead. There's actually some foreshadowing early on, by the way, because he even says, I have no money. You know, if I had money, I would say, but now he's... No, clear motivations here.
Yeah.
Well, you've thought this out, Gene Wilder.
Thought it out with just that.
That was his eureka moment when he was writing. He goes, I have no money.
But there's
that's Gene Wilder writing, by the way. Yes. Just, he mumbles and then just makes a grand gesture and goes back immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we find out that he is the killer, and there's this giant fight scene, as Adam said it when we were watching it, a very major tonal shift.
Yeah.
Like, very odd.
Just complete 180.
Yeah, there was some blood involved, a lot of punches thrown.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah. Got and there was that dramatic music, and then it was, you know, it was shot in slow motion from time to time, and I was like...
Was it slow motion?
What's
was.
They were running. I was like, what? It just is so out of place. It was kind of funny, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's big fight scene, and then Jonathan Pryce picks up the vase to go and murder Gene Wilder with, here comes Dom DeLuise with his shotgun, or her shotgun, I should say, and just shoots
him in the chest.
Right through the chest, and he just falls out the window. Oh. And everybody's just like, yeah, all right, the wedding's on. Now that family crisis is over, let's get on to the important things in life.
Now that three of us are dead.
Yeah, let's get to the rehearsal dinner already.
But then we find out that it was all bullshit.
Yeah, all right, we'll get to that in a minute. Before that, I want to hit a couple things. Widower than what?
What?
Took me forever.
What?
That took me way, way too long.
Wait, what?
Widower. He's widower. He's a widower.
Widower
than what?
Little widower.
Widower.
Wait, you just got this?
No, I got it. Oh. I was like, but I was like, what were you? And I was like, what are you referring to? And then I thought about it. I was like, oh, that stupid joke. And
widower.
Yeah.
Gene Wilder again, comedic genius. What a line that was.
But no, that took me forever.
He's a widower.
Like after a while, I'd be like, oh, widow.
He's like, whittle.
He's whittle. Mm. And I felt like an idiot.
I thought there was some serious, and while we're on the, yeah, that was, by the way, the mistake that Pfizer, the butler, made, because when Larry said that, yeah, he's a widower, you know, he wasn't sure what that word meant. Very, very dark subject matter with the whole Pfizer situation. Like, there's a lot of very bleak social commentary. This dude's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He hates his wife. I think it's a semi-abusive relationship. It certainly seems that way. It's at least verbally abusive.
She's more verbally abusive, yeah, though.
And he has Alzheimer's. Like, this dude is clearly an Alzheimer's patient. And like, this man should not still be working for the family dynasty. Like, this man should be put in a home somewhere. And we are expected to laugh at his disabilities.
But then my issue is so when they first arrive, when, what's her name, Vicky?
Yes, Vicky is the
When
name
Vicky and Larry first arrive, he takes them upstairs to their room.
Mm-hmm.
15 minutes later, he's like, "Oh, when did you guys show up?"
Mm.
But then all throughout the movie, he remembers, oh, Vicky's hard of hearing, even though she's not.
Right.
Yeah.
Because Gene said it, Larry said it as a joke, mm-hmm. so he starts screaming at her. He remembers the whole thing about the werewolf.
Yes.
So, it's his Alzheimer's is very inconsistent.
He was right all along!
Yeah, like...
The fuck? Oh, man. Yeah, no, this dude, it's a troubling past for old Pfizer. I mean, like, he really got the short end of the stick in this movie. He was hit over the head with a shovel. He was abused by his little friend. I was going to say childhood friend. But yeah, he was abused by Larry, who he is, you know, his trusted sort of, what's the word? What do they call it? A steward? What is that?
His master.
Not the master. What do they call that? Like, what is Bruce Wayne to Alfred?
Master.
Yeah. Master? Oh, his master?
Master Wayne.
That doesn't feel right to me, though.
Yeah.
It feels
because,
very...
Because the father is so...
Okay.
Fester even refers to him as Master Larry.
Yeah, it's very Civil War era. I don't like it.
His master. Very Civil War era.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. No, but he's abused. In this scene, by the way, you know, all the butler's trying to do is be just this loyal companion. And here is Larry just beating him over the head as he's using his legs as his own.
That was great. That was the best.
The
part.
Best scene in the
best
whole movie.
Fucking part of this whole movie.
Honestly, don't watch this movie. Like, it's perfectly fine. Just look up on YouTube. I don't know what you would look up. Like, haunted honeymoon leg scene, maybe.
Yeah.
Or maybe, cop scene. Comedic genius here. Absolute. Like, that 2 minutes was just hysterical.
It was pretty good.
That psych gag. Like, that's something where I'm like, wow, I don't think I would have been able to conceptualize that scene and put that into a screenplay. Like, he thought of that ahead of time and planned that out. That was the only inspired thing in this whole movie, because nothing about this movie is inspired. No. But that one felt like, wow, good for you, Gene Wilder. Like,
that was good.
Yeah, essentially, the butler is laying there sort of unconscious, and his legs are sticking up in the air, and Gene Wilder is sort of sitting in a precarious way, and when the cops run into the room, it's kind of hard to explain here, but he pretends that those legs are his own.
Because the what it is Gene Wilder is standing behind, like, this wall.
It's like a crate.
Yeah, because they're in the basement.
Yeah.
So he's behind, like, this wall. I guess it's a wine cellar.
Yeah,
sure.
You know,
there's a
lot
of wine there.
I would call
it a wine cellar.
So the butler...
What was your first clue there?
So the butler... Well, I can't. I always forget his name.
Feister.
I'm pulling a Nick.
Feister. Sorry, Bill Burr inside joke. Feister.
Okay, so Feister's legs are over the wall, but he's on the same side as Gene Wilder.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
So the cops come down and they only see the legs.
And they think
Gene is, like, slightly bending over and wearing a robe and it's covering the leg. It's hard to explain.
It's silly.
Go try to find it.
Great scene.
It's hilarious.
A lot of stuff in a pretty mediocre movie that ends with a twist. It was a dream all along. Or should I say it was a radio play all along?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this was all just an elaborate, this was all just a visual version of the radio play.
Yeah.
That.
Well, my question is, so is the first time we see them in the radio station also part of the play?
Exactly. Yeah. So I wanna like unpack these plot holes because there are some major fucking plot holes here. And I don't normally get mad about plot holes, but I don't understand this. So were they trying to scare Gene Wilder, or was that an actual goal? Is Gene Wilder having problems with his ability to keep it together and act? Or was that radio play a meta version of that of the show? Like, was there multiple layers to it? Because also the cops in the movie or in the radio play know the two actors as the actors. They're playing themselves.
Well, here's my question. At the end when we realize, oh, it's all this one big play, mm-hmm. do we get confirmation that it is still, quote, Larry Abbott and Vicky, whatever her last name is?
I think so.
I thought, yeah, right.
Oh, are you saying...
I'm saying the entire thing is one radio play, and Gene Wilder's character is playing, or is voicing, rather, the actor Larry Abbott.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So my question is if we don't get confirmation... If at the end they say, okay, yeah, Larry, you're free to go, mm-hmm. then you can be like, oh, well, where does the actual events stop, and where does...
Because the Abbott family start? Doesn't exist. The Abbott family is a series of actors.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, because Dom DeLuise is playing the aunts, and so is Jonathan Pryce, and all of them are there.
They're playing those characters.
So the Abbott family doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Ooh, now
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but these two actors are still getting married. They are still engaged because they go off and run off to the wedding. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because they said that they just got married on the air. Mm-hmm. So here's what I think. I think that these two actors actually exist. Those are two actual actors.
Larry Abbott and
Sylvia, right? Is that her name?
No, Vicky something.
And Vicky something. Those are two actual radio actors. And they wrote a radio play about fictional versions of themselves.
And it was just their clever way of getting married on the air.
And that was their sort of stunt.
Yes.
The original part of the play, well, I don't know. I don't know.
This movie feels, the movie itself to me just feels very confused.
Well, not thought out, really.
Well, yeah.
At the end of the day, they didn't really think this whole thing through.
No.
They didn't think that some random college students in 2016 would be dissecting the plot of it. They thought, yeah, we'll make a quick buck. We'll get it out of the theaters. It gives Gene Wilder something to do.
Make a quick buck and then lose most of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the worst thing I've ever seen. It's not.
It's not good.
No, I said at the end, I'm going to add it to Halloween movie list.
Yeah.
When I watch things on Halloween, I'm going to watch it. Just because.
I mean, the performances are pretty good.
It's good.
It's well fun. Shot. The production value is pretty good. You know,
right? It's the type of movie that if I had went to Blockbuster in 2002 and I had come across it on the shelves and brought it home, I just would have insisted that we keep renting it over again. As a kid, I would have loved it. I would have loved it. Even though on IMDb it is categorized as a first horror, second comedy, and third musical.
Yes.
Is it any of those things, really? It's kind of a comedy.
It's kind of a musical.
I don't know if we can call it a musical.
No, this is the full-on family movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some fun stuff in there.
Yeah.
Even though I don't understand the ending of it. Because there's also... Yeah, because the werewolf then comes on. You think the story is over.
Yeah.
And then does this really awkward turn to the camera.
There are spooky things still afoot.
Was this like an homage to kind of... older haunted house?
Well, no, it is.
That's what I thought, but it was...
Oh, it definitely is old Hollywood.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, for sure. Just not very good.
That's
They're just not very thought out.
No.
There you go. That's Haunted Honeymoon. Yeah. We're over an hour already. Oh, that was our tribute to the late, great Gene Wilder. Any other thoughts we have on that film?
The film? It was silly.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's silly.
There you go.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah, fun little movie to watch with your friends and joke around about on a podcast. Yeah. And that's all we're looking for here on Why Is This a Thing?
Exactly.
Rest in peace, Gene Wilder. And honestly, if you are not familiar with his work, which I don't know many people that would be listening to this that aren't.
At least Willy Wonka.
Sure.
I mean.
Sure.
You have to watch Willy Wonka, Young Frankenstein, and Blazing Saddles.
Yes.
You have
to. I feel like Willy Wonka is like one of those movies that, it's like Wizard of Oz, where our parents showed it to us
right.
because their parents showed it to them. Mm-hmm. So we're going to show it to our kids. Mm-hmm. And then it's just going to keep going like that. I feel like it's a rite of passage movie.
I will show my kids Willy Wonka. I don't know if I'll show them Wizard of Oz.
You won't?
You won't?
How dare you? Wait, no. Whoa. We were just about to wrap this thing up. Wait a minute. Wait. You don't like Wizard of Oz?
No, I like the Wizard of Oz.
So why aren't you going to show your kids?
That could not have been less convincing. Please tell me. Tell me, I swear to God, I like Wizard of Oz.
Okay, I like Wizard of Oz. I don't know if I love it. It's
But okay, you don't have to love it. Somewhere your kids need to see it. There's a difference. Like, granted, sure. I'm sure Nico and I both love Wizard of Oz.
I'm gonna throw Adam off of this rainbow.
Can we throw apples at him?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I'll throw a house on top of you during a tornado. And
is this one of your favorite movies, that you Nico? Got.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
It's fucking Wizard of Oz.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's incredible. Yeah. What's the matter with you? What are you, un-American? What are you, communist? Get the fuck out of here.
You're fucking red.
Yeah. Go somewhere else. Like Colin Kaepernick, not standing for the national anthem.
Fuck
Colin Kaepernick. We're not talking about that.
No, it's fine. We're not.
No, I don't know. Maybe it's because I was kind of traumatized by Wizard of Oz when I was little. I do.
Were you one of the kids who was terrified by the fucking flying monkey?
Well, that and kind of everything else. I just found the film a little off-putting. But now that I watch it, I still like it. I'm not saying I dislike the Wizard of Oz.
Now, here's the question. Do you guys, when you watched it, do you remember if you watched the one with the munchkin hanging himself?
They never took that out, though, did they? That's always been in there. There's not different versions of
it. Yes, there is.
Is there?
Yeah, there's one where it shows the light falling, which is what it was.
Right.
And then there's one that they, like, blocked it, I guess, or just edited it out of the frame.
Yeah.
And then re-released it. I don't know what the time span between the two releases was, but there are two different versions of it. What
a weird urban legend that is.
It's so weird.
Like, why would you assume that? Like, of course, it didn't even look like anybody hanging themselves.
No, but once you say it, you're like, oh my god, yeah, oh my god, look at that. Yeah.
There's no fucking way. It's such a weird one. No.
Yeah.
What a great fucking movie. And the best movie song of all time.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
There's no better than Somewhere Over the Rainbow, right? There's no better movie song. Yeah. I can't name one.
Like a
song that was made specifically for a movie.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing more.
Probably.
I mean, I was going to say anything from The Lion King, but I don't like... I mean, I like The Lion King soundtrack, but...
They're not Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I don't know if I'd put it number one. I don't know where I'd put it.
Mrs. Robinson?
I was just about to say, what about The Graduate? The Graduate's got some...
Mrs. Robinson, yeah.
So... No, I think I'd still put Over the Rainbow above that, though.
Oh, fucking... I'm going to watch that movie tonight. How about that? Fuck Gene Wilder. Judy Garland's my bitch.
Well, anyway, so I feel like Gene Wilder, if you don't know him as Willy Wonka, your parents didn't raise you right. Just saying.
And I will say, like, Blazing Saddles holds up. Mm. Like, Blazing Saddles is
fucking funny.
Jesus, the social commentary in there is fucking incredible, too. And it's offensive. Like, they drop N-word several times.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it is an edgy...
Well, because Mel Brooks doesn't give a shit.
No.
He goes, okay, I'm going to make fun of Jews. I'm going to make fun of fucking everyone.
He's Jewish.
Well, I know. But he makes fun of... You know what I mean, though.
Yeah.
He'll make fun of them, so he's like, oh, well, why not make fun of anyone?
But you want to know something, though? Mel Brooks wasn't... I would say that a lot of his comedy is... because it's parody-driven, and because it's all sort of a takeoff of something else... It's sort of dumb and lowest common denominator. Again, lowbrow is the word for it.
Yeah.
But Blazing Saddles, for some reason, it's still very, I don't know if campy is the word, but it still has some biting stuff, and it's really raw, edgy comedy.
Yeah.
Especially for what, came out in the 70s? Or was it 80s?
I don't know.
Hey, boys, look what I got here. Hey, where are the white women at?
Where are the white women at? What a great line. Okay.
You know, I thought about it, by the way.
What?
And I probably will show my kids Wizard of Oz because I think it's my duty as a lover of cinema to keep the legacy of that movie going. So, yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Or you cannot reproduce. I think it's better off than you and I don't have kids.
Well, I wouldn't mind having kids.
I would love to, but I just think for humanity's sake.
For you, well,
you know what I mean?
I mean,
what do you think? What do you think?
Nico is already going to corrupt his nieces and nephews.
That's right, yeah.
No, what do you mean? What do I think? Do you two should reproduce?
Yes.
Nico, no.
Here's my thing.
Adam, I'm not so sure about, but...
Adam, do we need another era of people that, like Green Room and shit? Like, do we need another era of people?
Kind
of
cool, but no.
No, I would love to hang out with them, but just for humanity's sake. Like, I don't know, having these stupid arguments that we have.
What if they prefer Blue Ruin?
Okay, then I'm all right with it.
Okay, you know there what? We go.
Excellent point. I can't think of a better way to go out. Right. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder. And next week we'll be back with some more cinema goodness. Maybe some TV. Who the hell knows? Yeah. We make it up as we go along. What? Four? What? Jaws 4? Jaws 4 next week? All right, we're watching Jaws 4 next week.
yes!
Boom!
Yes! There you go. Okay, yeah, and we're going to try. I will say this, just a little bit of a disclaimer. The recording schedule may get a little chaotic. Yeah. I know it's been very hit and miss the last couple of weeks. We've skipped, I think, 2 weeks since we did the anime show. And that's 100% my fault. I totally take 100% responsibility, and my life is not going to get any less chaotic. And I'm still doing 3 podcasts a week. So I'm going to try my absolute best to make sure these guys are available pretty much whenever I ask them to. It's all me. So it's looking like maybe Thursday night recordings, Friday afternoon releases. That's what we're sort of looking at.
Yeah, so we're going to try to aim for.
So who knows? I reserve the right to change my mind, though.
Well, because now that the issue is you, and now you're woken up in New York. So
yes. So
it's really whenever it's you're willing to stay up late one night
to do it. It's all me. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, we hope to do this as much as possible because we love it and we know you guys love it too. So,
all three of you.
We will be back next week with more Why Is This a Thing? And until then, ladies and gentlemen, you have all been naughty.
If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world? There's nothing to it.